On the next CSI, a new mom got drunk and breastfed her baby. And now David Caruso is milking it for all it's worth on CSI Miami. What do we got?
Well, Horatio, the female suspect was seen breastfeeding her baby while under the influence.
This is one mom who's a real boob. David Caruso has latched onto the teat of cliches and is getting his fill on CSI Miami.
Horatio, the drunken mom just signed a confession. She's in a holding cell sleeping it off.
That means tomorrow she'll go back to nursing. Nursing a hangover. David Caruso has got one strong sucking reflex on the next CSI Miami.
Other station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Three-Day Weekend Survivor.
Mr. Three-Day Weekend Survivor.
Another long holiday weekend is over, and you regale us with tales of woe. You did too much yard work, too many projects, too much running around, but you didn't get enough rest.
Gee, you never worked that hard around here.
Really, man, we don't care.
And need a break from your whining, yeah.
So the next time the martyr of the mini vacation shows up late and says, I need another long weekend to recover from my long weekend, don't strangle. Instead, salute Mr. 3-Day Weekend Survivor, a real American hero. No, it's not Friday yet, you slacker.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Monday, April 5th, another rainy day in Southern California, and I love it.
Really?
Yes, I love rain.
Well, you know, good for you.
Yes.
It is very, very...
I take it that you don't.
It's good. I mean, I look at it like it's nourishing, it's good, but I mean, does it make me want to go run? No.
No, well, it doesn't,
and
I
had
suppose.
I had pizza, I had a big weekend, it's time for a good run.
So you need to run, huh?
I gotta run it off, it's not
you
gonna
run. You want to run in the rain?
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sam, sign me up.
It is, I love the rain.
Do you go running in the rain?
I wouldn't mind. I don't go running any season, any time, anywhere. I'm not running.
Yeah, so you're not going to go running in the rain.
Exactly. But I would play in the rain.
Would you?
Yeah.
You can go play in it today? You can go smack around in it like a little toddler?
Yeah.
You can go smack your feet in a little puddle?
Yeah, I was just actually thinking about this. I saw the little puddles on the street, and I remembered when I was a kid how we used to love it so much, you know?
Yeah, it's a different mentality.
Yeah, we used to be closer to the ground, too, you know, so we were more aware of stuff on the ground. Today, you know, at this age, what do we know? We don't pay attention to shit, you know?
How are you feeling?
I'm a lot better, thank you very much.
Do you want to tell everybody about your current color?
Do I?
I think it looks fine. I didn't notice anything.
Yeah, the saga of the hair dyeing continues as I'm trying to find a comfortable color to be with because I made the mistake of touching my hair in the first place. So then I can't get the right hue, the right color, and I keep having to go back and forth, back and forth. And now it's sort of like brownish.
Yeah.
Right? But it's so like I'm so not used to seeing myself like that. I mean,
I think it looks so not offensive,
right.
And it looks so kind of natural almost. Like if your hair wasn't gray, it looks like it'd probably
right.
be that color.
It is. That's what one thing that occurred to me is that's true.
It doesn't look bad.
You know?
It doesn't
and
look bad.
And this is a combination of like jet black and blonde. This is what I got.
I think it's good. I think it's good.
Okay, well, first of all, I'm going to get my hair cut this week.
You are.
So it won't look as pronounced. And then...
You know, you need to be grateful that you have hair, though, because a lot of guys start... They're not your age, they don't have hair. Or they've started losing it a lot sooner.
I know. And you know what I was saying to myself? I thought, you know what? If I really don't like myself in all these different colors, I must really like myself the way I naturally am, you know?
And you know what? Good lesson learned.
Which is a good thing. Yeah, that's a good lesson to learn.
Good lesson learned.
Definitely.
But I think that I think it's good to take a risk and try something new.
Right.
And to go, hey, I want to try a new color. Yeah, it was a little crazy for a while. It didn't exactly come out the way you wanted it to. You felt a little embarrassed. But it was all worth it to go, in the end, I love myself. Yay.
Yeah. There you go. I guess that's what
it took. You know, in that regard. I think that's good.
Yeah.
I think more people, especially as they get older, I feel like things ferment.
Right.
And people become really stuck in their ways. And so when people actually venture off and they go and they try something new with their hair or whatever, mm-hmm. I think it's really cool. It's like even a higher risk for them.
Yeah. It is a risk.
It's a higher risk
when
you get older.
Yeah. I mean, every time I do it, I don't want to leave the house, for crying out loud.
Really?
So by now, I think I've done 5 treatments to my hair.
Oh, really?
Yeah, between black and blonde, and I'm not getting anywhere with that. So
I hear you.
Let's just keep it this way, and
I like
it's fine.
It. It looks
people
good.
Don't ask me for pictures. I'm not putting up any.
Really? Still?
Yeah.
You're not gonna put. People would love to see pictures.
You think? With my hair like this?
It's first of all, it's not a big deal. Like, your hair totally looks normal. It looks like... It looks very much as if it's your natural color.
Yeah.
But we talk about it, so people would get a kick out of seeing the transitions. You know, what I've really learned is that people aren't as concerned about me as I'm concerned about me.
That's true. That's
and it's freeing. True. It's really liberating.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes that's not true. Sometimes people will be a little more concerned, and I'll be like, really? You put that much effort into this?
Right.
But generally, people aren't that concerned, because I have my own insecurities and things that I like to patch up and staple gun here and scotch tape there. But I have to realize... At the end of the day, nobody gives a crap.
Exactly.
Nobody cares.
They don't see 2 feet in front of them.
In fact,
you know?
If you don't look that great, people like it more.
Yeah.
I find with women, mm-hmm. if I come looking a little slobbish, or I'm not as in shape as I was the last time you saw me, or if things aren't as good as they were, or whatever, I've noticed that girls become a little bit more relaxed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're not as competitive. They don't care. You're not as much of a threat.
Right.
Whereas when you're looking great and you're really in shape and you're like, everything's popping, sometimes people get a little bit more distant from you.
Right.
I've noticed that.
Really?
Like, I went back home and I saw some friends, and I was in Texas for about a month. And it was interesting how I felt like there was some distance between a few people.
Maybe they feel you're not accessible.
I'm not a beauty queen. I mean, I'm an attractive girl, but I'm not like some plastic beauty queen. But I still felt this distance, like, you know, part of it was looks. Part of it's probably the fact that I left and went off and tried something or did something different. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a small town. You know?
It's small town stuff, yeah. But no, I mean, they're not stupid people. They're just more of like almost like you said, maybe a lack of relatability or...
Right, yeah.
But my friend Sarah, you know Sarah, she said that sometimes when she goes out without any makeup on and just runs around and does errands, she says, I have some of the best conversations versus when she's all made up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because she says sometimes she's just more approachable. People aren't as...
Yeah, that's the thing. I think you're more approachable. You
so
know?
My point is go rock the bad hair dye.
Yeah.
Probably like...
And I agree with you. It's not what people are going to think, but what we think people are going to think.
Yeah.
You know? And that's usually the way it is, you know? And that's how we act. And it's pretty stupid. But, you know, it does take me back, and I'm starting to think, maybe I did have some trauma when I was a kid when it came to my hair, you know? Because I remember when I was young, my hair would never go the way I wanted it. You know, it was too curly and stuff.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. And I wanted it sort of like to be straight.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, often I remember leaving the house not, you know, like... what now we call a bad hair day, and I would be really self-conscious.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I think that stayed with me, which is infantile in a way, but what are you going to do, you know?
What are you going to do? You're human.
Yeah.
I like hearing guys have kind of insecurities and be... It's human. It's human.
Yeah.
It's human, you know? It's like, oh, yeah, I do care what my hair looks like. But the cool thing, what I'm saying is liberating, is just to know that sometimes when I'm so... fixated on one part of my body or one part of the way I look or something or some insecurity, it's so pronounced because that's all I'm seeing.
Right.
And really, most people aren't noticing it, or they don't care.
Exactly.
Or they're just too busy thinking about themselves. They're not going to care that much about my insecurities. They're like, oh, whatever. You got a jacked up tooth, whatever. I don't even care.
Yeah.
At least you got a tooth, you know.
There you go. Some people don't have teeth.
Yeah, I have a jacked up tooth on my bottom grill, and I used to be really kind of insecure about it and pictures and stuff, and I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
Freaking whatever, you know.
Exactly.
I'll use
Nobody
that tooth
cares.
And bite a steak. At the end of the day, it's like, whatever. Like, I got a jacked up tooth. I'm still hot. Okay. Speaking of hot.
Uh-huh.
Went to a bachelorette party this weekend.
You did?
Yes. We had a great time. But before I get to the bachelorette party, Sam.
Yes.
Sam.
Yes.
Sam.
Yes.
Here's the deal.
Uh-huh.
Freaking the people with the tagging of the photos. Let's talk about that for a second.
People that tag photos?
Tagging photos. Okay. And let's go back to the insecurity. I am extremely particular about photos of myself. Okay?
Okay.
There's certain ways I want to look. And the others can all go to hell.
I see. So
I wanna
you've got to pose.
I've got certain looks. I've got a certain way that in my own little mind that I like to see myself. And everything else in my brain doesn't count.
Yeah.
You know?
I noticed that when we took some pictures here.
Yeah, I'm very, very,
you know,
very.
But I got to tell you, there's different angles where you look great. You don't need to be just one angle.
There's some of these fat pictures where I'm just like, you know, looking a little on the thick side. And it's not flattering. And I'm like, can we get rid of it? And it's not that I'm fat. It's just there's bad angles where, you know, there's just stuff that doesn't look flattering. You know, you might be eating a sandwich. Anything from a low angle makes you look like a damn hoss.
Right.
You know, it's not good. So I'm particular about photos that I'm being tagged because you got to understand Facebook. I mean, there's a lot of different people on there that, again, they probably don't give a crap, but there's a lot of different friends on Facebook. From old school to current day, but people that are family related. There's older people. There's my peers. It's so across the board that there's just some stuff that some people won't get.
Right. Exactly.
So, you know, I'm a pretty PG kind of girl. I mean, my life is pretty extreme, but I'm not like a girl gone wild. I always make a joke about it, but that's not really my thing. Like, I'm not throwing up on somebody's lap in a freaking bar or anything like that. But when I go out, I have fun. Everything's over the top. But that's my personality. Like,
right.
I like to dance. I like to play, whatever. So our friend, she's from Canada, and she was like, yeah, I just want to do a small bachelorette party in L.A. and just basically just go out a night on the town. And see, Sarah and I have gone out several times, and we just have these adventures. We get into trouble. Mm-hmm. We meet these crazy people. They're always usually from some other part of the country or other part of the world, different countries.
Yeah.
We get drinks bought for us. And it's not because we're so gorgeous. It's just we get into these fun adventures.
Right.
Basically, we just say yes to a lot of things.
Yeah, exactly. You put yourself out there, you know, and whatever comes up.
And we have a blast. Like, there's one time, it was Sarah's birthday. We went down to the Sunset Strip, which, for those of you guys who don't know, it's very touristy, and it's not really a place I would normally go, but it's kind of the fun, kind of campy.
Yeah, it's a cool place. You know, a lot of huge billboards and
yeah,
and
it's kind of it's but it's very touristy. If you live here, you don't really go to the Sunset Strip that much, but you do for like something extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went there for her birthday for fun, and anyway, long story short, this one dude is totally loving Sarah and wants to mount her on his wall.
Mm.
And he's just buying drinks the whole night. Then we go to another place and there's a rooftop pool. I jump in the pool and made a big
So this is like not last.
No, this is prior, but
this is one time you did that.
We do, yeah, but I'm when we have fun is what I'm saying. I have fun, right?
Exactly.
So flash forward to
now.
To this time. This girl Renee is like, not Renee, her name's Renee, a friend of ours. She's just like, I want to do something kind of fun because we told her about our last party we went to. I want to do something kind of like that, but you know, low key, and we're like, you asked the wrong girl
to do low key. Huh?
So we actually made a big basket for her with tons of bachelorette paraphernalia, like just tons of panties and candy and fake eyelashes and all the fun stuff. And then we wrote a note, but we cut out the letters from like a magazine to make it look like a death note.
Yes.
And it was like, did you really think you could escape that easy? ... Bachelorette 2010. And then you flip it over. It says, we run LA. And then I wanted to really prick my finger, but we didn't. We got red nail polish and dripped it on it like his blood. Anyway, we gave that to her to kind of start it off. And then we went to her house. We had a pre-party. And then we went out. But we had a great time. We went to the Sky Bar. I mean, sorry, the Standard. And we had just a really, really good time. But there's pictures of us dancing, and I wore a crazy black wig, and we were there to kind of look wearing a lot of pink and look a little trashy, but funny. Right. Funny.
So, I mean, was it like Halloween or like a costume party?
It was Bachelorette. We wanted to look crazy. So I wore a big black wig, and then I had
Where'd you get that wig?
I got it from a friend. Two other girls wore black wigs, and a lot of us are blondes. So we wanted to do something funny. And it was like cheesy, trashy, kind of funny. Tons of pink, pink feather boas, that whole thing. Like, hey, Bachelorette! I'm like, Operation Free Drinks, you got to put some effort into it, okay? You're not going to get free drinks telling people you're the Bachelorette and you don't have anything that shows.
Yeah,
so we got her a sash that lit up and said Bachelorette. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we went out, we had fun. But there's pictures of me like dancing and being crazy, and this one guy jumps in a photo and... You know how guys are stupid and trashy. He jumps in the photo and he kind of is like behind me and he's kind of like kind of wrapped his arms around me. Like it looks a little questionable.
Uh-huh.
So it was funny in the moment, but then I get to my Facebook page and all these like pictures are tagged. I'm like, people aren't going to get this. They're not going to know me and know that this is a joke. They're going to think, oh my gosh, girls, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my whole point.
Yeah, but if you get tagged, then it appears on your page.
It does, and I'm untagging.
So these are the people
shit.
That know you.
No, but I've got a lot of people that are affiliates or people that are friends or associates or whatever that we're not that close that don't know me this way.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying.
You can untag it, but the picture is still there.
The picture's still there, but it doesn't show up in my thing. So I have to go back and remove all the tags.
Yeah.
And definitely the ones that aren't hot.
Yeah. Well, ask those people not to tag you, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I didn't get the memo to them quick enough.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So anyway,
well,
that was
Facebook
my crazy.
For you, you know?
You know?
Yeah. It's amazing how involved people have become with Facebook. It's just amazing.
It's the number one Googled thing.
Really?
Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. As far as like ranking of traffic on websites, it's number two. You know?
Oh, what do you mean?
You know, like the ranking of websites, like the one that has the most traffic in the world
is
Google.
Google, and then
And then you have Facebook, which is number two. It's amazing.
It's amazing, and I think it says a lot, because I feel like Facebook is, I think, very multi-purposed. I mean, it's obviously it could be as small as you want it or as big as you want it.
Right.
And I know people that just make it for inclusive friendships that they're really close friends with,
right.
Or I know people that it's only people that they've met.
Right. That's how I got started with it.
Yeah, but then you've got a business, and it becomes more of like,
and fans and stuff like this. So then you go, okay, well, I don't know them, but, you know. So, but that's what Facebook's about. You know,
yeah.
It's not only about people you've met in person.
Yeah, but what's interesting is if you are doing it for other than super close friends, and you're in, like, I'm a comedian and singer, and now we're doing the radio, and you've been doing the radio, and you've got... you and then you on the radio and then you, the whole LA talk radio, you're working all those things. I'll be out in public and I just can't go anywhere because people know who I am. No, I'm just playing. But no, I'll run into people that I'm not that close with, but I'm on Facebook with.
Really?
And they'll be like, they'll remind me of a status update I put, or they'll ask me stuff pertaining to my Facebook page. And you go, wow, I forget that I'm putting it out there and that people are actually reading it.
Exactly, exactly.
Just like we're talking right now, and you just, it feels
like you don't get a sense that a lot of people are listening or reading and stuff, but there are people out there and they go, wow.
Yeah, I knew some people that this one guy told me, he said, you know, I don't really read a lot of people's statuses, but I always check yours because it's funny.
Really?
And I'm like, wow. And he just never commented. We're not close. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, you just don't know who's watching or looking.
No,
it's
you don't.
It's kind of creepy and exciting.
Yeah, imagine when you're a big celebrity, you know, with stalkers and stuff, you know.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
No, just
You would like that?
No, I make a joke, really, how it's flattering to have a stalker.
It's flattering at the same
but
time,
I don't think
it's usually wackos.
Yeah, you know? It's never the kind of person you really want to stalk you.
Right,
it's never like some hot, rugged guy from the mountains that's still a businessman, but yet knows how to light a fire and... You know, no back hair, but, you know, could grow back hair if you needed to.
Yeah,
it's never that guy.
No. But I'm well into another novel by Jackie Collins.
Oh.
Yes, I'm like on a roll with her.
So, okay, I want to hear about this, and then I want to hear what Dina thinks, and how does it affect y'all's marriage? I wonder if it spices it up or not.
It's not supposed to. It's just fun to read.
Yeah, because, I mean, if I were to read, like,
That's the difference. I know what you're going to say. I mean, that's the difference between men and women.
Is it?
I don't get turned on by, like, a novel, you know? I would get turned on by porn and stuff, you know?
But, like, if you're reading it, listen, I've never read a Jackie Collins novel, but if you're reading it, it's like, and he throws her on the horse, and they gallop.
No, it's not like
that. They gallop on the
beach. This is about Hollywood.
And he grabs her hair, and then they roll around in the salty, sandy, beachy
beach.
Well,
it's not quite like that. It's actually all about vendettas and shit. You know?
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's not so romantic.
No, it's not a romance. No, it's a trashy novel. I mean, it's about Hollywood.
Oh.
And usually the characters are like famous stars and things like that, and what they go through. So now I'm reading Hollywood Divorces, and that says it all, you know. So I don't know. I mean, I like, you know, what was it, 20, 25 years ago, I read Hollywood Wives, and I was like sucked into it.
And, was it what it like?
That was hers also, Jackie Collins.
Okay.
You know who she is? She's the sister of Joan Collins. If you never saw like Dallas, not Dallas, but Dynasty.
No,
right?
I didn't, but I'm going to look her up.
Yeah. So, I mean, she's pretty hot. She's got to be in her 60s, 70s.
Oh, but, she is pretty. She's kind of like a redhead.
Yeah,
she's very pretty. Yeah. So she's just like...
So the stories are about these rock stars and starlets and you know, how they, you know, get involved with each other and divorces and love and innocent and... You know, I don't know, man. It's like a guilty pleasure, you know? Sometimes you just want to take a break from all the serious stuff you read.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's
so
fun,
it's
though.
It's like it sucks me in, man.
But think about it. At least there's something interesting about the fact you're going to, I mean, this can expose my ignorance, but you're going to a novel for entertainment. I feel like that's such a novel concept. Well, think about it. Most people, they'll put on the game or they'll go to a movie or they'll go, you know.
And that's the thing. I mean, I want to watch some television. I want to watch some movies. But, you know, we've got Netflix. I have a movie sitting in my machine for 2 weeks. We haven't seen it yet.
Oh, okay.
So that's crazy, you know? And then there's the Series V. Have you heard of that one?
I've seen the previews. What do you think?
Yeah. I like it because I saw the original one from 20, 30 years ago or something. And I liked it, you know, so I started watching this one when they started it last season, and now it's all this season is recorded on my DVR, haven't even gotten around to it yet.
Really?
Yeah, but I'm dying to watch
that.
It's
too much
of
that Jackie Collins.
But that's the thing, yeah, it's like I always gravitate to the books, you know, I always read like 3-4 books at a time, you know.
Really?
Yeah, different topics, you know, one like fiction, like a novel, you know, one nonfiction, one business book, and... You know, whatever else.
You're a smart guy.
I don't know if it has to do with smart, does it? I mean,
I don't know. It makes you look good. It makes you look good.
I don't even think about the way it makes me look.
Well,
I mean
it's just like that's the way I think.
My enjoyment. I love holding a book. You know, I love looking at the words.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is, you know, but it just flows for me.
Really?
Yeah. It's a little more passive. You know, I noticed like lately I fall asleep watching movies.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
I fall asleep when I read.
Really? Yeah, you see, people are different. Vive la différence.
Vive la différence?
The différence.
That sounds pretty.
Yeah, that's French.
Yeah, it's so pretty.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to do the accent.
Vive la
différence.
It's
not necessarily that. So, listen, in a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in, and we're going to talk to him about reducing your credit card debts.
Oh.
I don't know if you have any, but I know many people do. I do. And I think it's definitely a good time. I think a lot of people are deep into their knees. You know, up to their knees in debt.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I thought this would be relevant and stuff. They have a website where they help you out. So we'll see. That's going to happen in a few minutes. So so you had so the bachelorette party, how many women were there?
Let me see. 1, 2, 3. I think it was like 7 of us.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't that big, but 5, 7, I think 7 of us, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they were all hot, right?
Oh, yeah, totally gorgeous people. That's the thing, though, in L.A. It's people move here for the industry, so by default, most people are attractive.
Right.
And then you've got the whole superficial culture on top of that.
Yeah.
So when I say a lot of my friends are attractive, it's not because I'm like only want good-looking friends. You just by default they're all in the business.
Most people are like
they're all actresses. Last night,
yeah.
Two singers, and the rest were actresses.
Really?
Yeah, you know, working actresses, you know, on TV shows, things like that. So, so yeah, it's funny. So when I was laughing when the camera comes out and we're like Facebook pictures. All these girls have been in something, you know. Sarah's been in Broadway. They've been in TV shows. They're singers. They're whatever. They're performers.
Right.
And the photo camera comes out, and the picture faces come out.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this is so not candid. Everything's even if we try to make it look candid, everything's still like, and the
like
lips
posed.
Are pursed in. The lips are pursed in. It's funny. It's so funny. I was like, man.
Yeah.
relax.
It's funny seeing so many women together, you know?
Is it?
Yeah.
We have a blast.
I
love girl time. I think it's so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Don't get me wrong. I love men, and I do want to be married one day. Mm-hmm. But I have a blast with the ladies.
I'm sure.
I do. They're good people. Good people. Good friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you get a bond when you're just with women. We were out, you know, in that club environment, so it was fun. But I just love the girl time when we're just at the house with, you know, some wine and chatting and laughing really hard. And,
yeah, that's cool.
And they're pretty magnificent. I'm very blessed because I have really great friends. Mm-hmm. It seems like I meet guys. I've met a few guys that this one guy who he liked me for a while. We ended up just doing the friend thing. But he told me he was like, he's like, Kara. He's British. He's like, Kara. He's like, you know, you find your girl. You've got your girl inside. She's like really nice. And she's great. And she, you know, you guys do romancy things and there's sex involved. But I don't really want to hang out with her that much. She goes, I just want to be with my mates. I want to go play poker. I want to go have fun. Because I don't mean to be rude, Kara, but most women are just not that interesting.
Mm.
And I said, tell me how you really... He wasn't talking about me, clearly. And I said, but I said, you know, what kind of bimbos are you meeting?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the women that I know are amazing. Mm. Like, and I mean amazing, like, very whole people in the sense of very... They know what they believe or they don't believe.
Well, it's a company you keep, you know? I mean,
opinions, great opinions. I mean, you know, artistic, creative, sassy, fun, you know. Yeah.
You can tell a lot about a person by their friends, you know?
I'm just amazing because my friends make me like God. But no, I guess what I'm saying is, there is a comment made on just women and maybe just women in LA or women in general. And I know what they're talking about, that basic Sunset Strip girl that just kind of, she does her part. She looks hot. She just, you know, maybe wants you to give her things. I don't know. But I don't know. I've just, that's not really the kind of girls that I hang with.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Did you ever meet any girl that you were attracted to sexually?
No, I've never been physically attracted to a woman. However, I can say women are sexy. Like, my friends and I were talking about that. It's like I'd rather look at a naked woman's body than a man's body. Well, unless I'm having sex.
Well, so does everybody else. Yeah.
Well, I just think that women are kind of the keepers of beauty. I mean, there's a reason why they're painted nude and sculpted more so than men and everything. There's something, and I've heard this said or I've read it somewhere that they're, you know, the lines on a woman are very like symbolic of eternity. Just the curvaceousness and the fact that she gives life.
Right.
So I think that women are very beautiful and sexy. And I mean, honestly, this is going to sound weird, actually. How do I say this without sounding really bad?
Come on, be honest.
Well, I'll be honest, but no, I mean, this is going to sound bad. Oh, please, people that know me, please not my family, don't listen right now. Please turn. This is not a family friendly show. So if you're a family member, turn it off right now. But no, I can look at myself naked and get turned on.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, keep that thought, okay? Because, I mean, that's intriguing now. But let's pick up the call and let's see.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the air. Is this our guest for this morning?
Good morning. Yes, it is. This is Michael Croy.
Yes. Good morning, Michael. How you doing?
Hi, Michael.
Good morning, Sam.
Kara.
Great. How are you?
Good. Where are you calling us from, Michael?
Seattle, Washington.
Oh, nice. Is it as rainy there today as it is here?
No, it's not raining today.
Really?
It's a beautiful day up there.
Yeah, Seattle is beautiful. I've been there once. Very nice. Is that where you lived all your life?
I grew up here, moved away, lived in the Bay Area for about 10 years, and I just moved back about five.
Oh,
five
I see. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting, yeah. Michael... you have a website that I checked out, and it seems very interesting to me because, first of all, I have credit card debt, and I know a lot of other people do, and you definitely address that. So tell us a little bit about the website. It's called Debt Clear, right?
Sure, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, this is a brand new site that we've launched, and it really came out of the fact that most of the people that we spoke with either couldn't afford these very expensive programs out there. You know, most people were struggling to make their minimum payments, and I don't know how many times I heard, you know, if I had, you know, a couple thousand dollars to join a debt relief program, I wouldn't be calling you. I'd be making my minimum payments.
Yeah.
So what we did is we started to put together some free information just to help these people that we couldn't help otherwise. And that's really what what Betclear grew out of. The other thing that's great about Betclear is it's very comprehensive. So most of the other programs that we would enroll people in were, you can think of them as kind of tools in a toolbox. They're one approach, and that we would do our best to match people with the most appropriate service for them. Debt relief is really a multi-perspective endeavor. So, for example, debt relief is one portion of that, but you know, you also want to do credit repair. Right. All debt relief programs are going to mess up your credit in some way. You also want to think about creditor lawsuits. It doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen, and there are many things that you can do either proactively or certainly reactively to make it difficult or expensive for these guys to collect.
Right. So you said sure. that credit cards would. I just forgot what I wanted to say.
He rolled dialed in.
Okay, the creditors would sue you, but it's not that common. Is that correct? I mean, so how
that is
how does the debt usually end up? I mean, what happens to it after a while when you don't pay it?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. So let's say you just stop making your payments to your credit cards today for whatever reason. Say you lost your job or you know, spouse got sick or something, but you either choose to or you just can't pay.
Right.
What would happen is for the first 6 months, that account will still remain with your original creditor. Now, by law, the card companies are required to write the account off as bad debt after 180 days of non-payment. Some charge off the account, meaning they sell or assign it to a debt collector before that, but usually they'll hang on to it for about 6 months. They'll try to collect on it.
Oh.
Now, the original creditor is governed by something called the Fair Credit Billing Act, and these are federal consumer protection laws and guidelines that regulate the credit card industry. And so there's certain rules around what they can and can't do, so it's important to know what those rules are.
Right.
And you can, if you can document any violations, that's actually to your benefit, because if down the road the original creditor does decide to try to sue you, you'll have something called an affirmative defense or affirmative defenses in the courtroom. So they have to follow the rules, and if you don't know the rules, then they don't have to follow them. And,
right.
And most credit card companies, of course, count on the fact that, you know, the average consumer doesn't understand their rights.
Right.
And so they'll run roughshod over them.
Yeah.
So that's what we try to do, is we teach about the original creditor. Now, after 6 months, then it goes to a debt collector. And a debt collector is governed by a separate set of government rules, which are called the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act.
Mm-hmm.
And those rules are actually even more consumer-friendly than the Fair Credit Billing Act. And again, it's important to know those rules so that if your rights are violated, you can either, I mean, one of the strategies in our program is to threaten to sue or actually sue for violations of the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act.
Yeah.
And we have a nationwide network of attorneys who will do this for free, or on contingency, I should say.
Right.
And that's a strategy to get your account zeroed out and update your credit report simply because of their abusive collection tactics.
Right. So you provide like a lot of tools of how to deal with this, right? Like
absolutely.
Yeah. So I guess obviously information and stuff helps a lot. Now, I read here that you yourself had some $90,000 in credit card debt. How did you get out of that?
Right.
And how long did it take?
Right. Yes. Well, I was in in medical school for a couple years, and I realized that wasn't for me. And I tried to start a business, and I didn't know a lot about business at the time, and set up a business structure called a sole proprietorship, which some of your listeners may know. It's a there's no legal distinction between you, from a liability point of view, and your business.
Right.
So I incurred, close to $90,000 in credit card debt. And it actually surprised me at the time. I wondered how an unemployed / self-employed, 20-something-year-old,
okay,
could get that much credit.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, that was kind of a mystery to me.
Yeah.
But
that's true.
And they gave it to me, and as long as they kept giving it to me, I had to keep taking it.
Yeah.
And I found myself unable to service the debt, and so I was looking at my options, looked at the traditional debt relief options out there, which are bankruptcy, consolidation, credit counseling, and negotiation settlement. And I also looked at some more cutting-edge strategies. And that just started my journey on this path. So trying to figure out the best way for me to handle my debt got me into the industry. And then, of course, I started generating sales leads. And then I hired sales reps. And I met all the players out there and just learned more and more about the game. So it took me, you know, it's a hard question to answer when your debt is actually gone. I mean, if you were to stop making your payments right now,
right,
from, you know, ostensibly, your debt's gone because you're not making any more payments on it.
Right.
If you were to settle your accounts, then ostensibly it would be gone because, you know, you wouldn't have to pay any more and those creditors wouldn't be coming after you.
Right.
But really, our program is geared toward maximizing debt relief, turning people from low-hanging fruit to high-hanging fruit. So though you can settle if you want, you're not going to experience the maximum amount of debt relief then if you were to just stand your ground and fight creditor, you know, collection efforts and lawsuits. And at the end of the day, every state, there's a statute of limitations after which this debt is no longer collectible. So you're in California, right?
Right.
Right. So in California, it's 4 years. So if you were to stop making your payments today, at 4 years after the date the debt was charged off,
right,
a debt collector would no longer be able to sue you to collect on that debt. And if they can't sue you, they actually can't legally do anything.
Oh,
up until that point, it's an alleged debt.
Right.
And until they prove it in a court of law, they really don't have much power at all.
Right. That's amazing, you know, because this is obviously information that I never knew. And I think, you know, I mean, from reading on your, reading over your stuff, you're guaranteeing 80%+ reduction in credit card debts. In a couple words, what exactly do you mean?
Well, what I mean is our program is based on information, and we feel that, you know, when it comes to debt relief and credit repair and all of this, information certainly is power. And to the degree that we could empower our clients with information, they'll be able to make better informed decisions about what options are best for them.
Right.
So we give them, like I said, this whole toolbox approach. We give them a bunch of different tools. And what we say is if you follow our program from start to finish, we are confident that you will experience over 80% debt reduction or we'll give you your money back.
Wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, and it's unlike any program out there. Like I said, there are no debt relief programs that will give you a guarantee, one.
That's true.
It's not one I've seen in over 8 years. Two, the best that you'll hear out there is save up to 50%.
Right.
And these are companies called debt negotiation settlement companies. They're actually only legal in 22 states. They're the biggest scams out there because they make you think you're doing something about your debt when you're really not.
Oh.
So typically speaking, I just want to warn everybody about these companies. There's nothing they could do that you can't do for yourself better and a lot cheaper. So, of course, they say, oh, we have, you know, these great professionals with insider information and knowledge, and we're going to go to bat for you and take them down and, you know, make them accept this great settlement. And all you have to do, instead of giving us, you know, paying your creditors the $1,200 a month, just, you know, give us $400 a month and we'll take care of it.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is you stop making your payments to your original creditors or your creditors, and you're paying this company $400 a month. Great. Well, if you read the fine print, they're usually going to pocket the first couple payments for themselves as administrative or account setup payments. And then any money that's left over every month, they're just going to put aside into an account for you. During this time, the creditors, you know, they just think you've stopped paying. And so you can be sued, you know, you're getting collection attempts. I mean, they're offering no service in terms of protecting you from these creditors, and unless or until you have enough money saved up in that, quote, bank account to settle with an individual creditor, let alone all of them, they're all going to keep coming after you.
Yeah.
So it's this really false sense of security. Now, of course, we'll teach you how to do that. It's all just a matter of knowing the business of debt collection, knowing how much they're likely to take in settlement, and when to ask and what to ask for.
Right. Now, you know, yeah. I was wondering because, you know, it's like my first instinct is, you know, I've got 90, you know, if I have, like you, $90,000 in credit card debt, maybe just file for bankruptcy, you know, and do away with all this.
Absolutely. Yeah, and there's two forms of bankruptcy. So there's Chapter 13 and Chapter 7.
Right.
Now, back in the Bush era, they made filing for Chapter 7 a lot easier. So a lot harder.
Right.
Chapter 7 is typically what people think of as bankruptcy. It's called a liquidation bankruptcy. You qualify, you basically liquidate any assets you have, or if you don't have any assets, your unsecured debt is forgiven. So it sounds like a great deal, right?
Right, right.
Most people, don't qualify for it. You basically have to be completely broke and have no income or assets.
Right.
And actually, I do recommend that people look into bankruptcy as an option, because Chapter 7 bankruptcy is the only debt relief option that I think is going to outperform our program.
Right.
But again, most people are probably not going to qualify, but they can talk to a bankruptcy attorney, they should, and determine whether they do or not. Now, the second thing about bankruptcy is, unfortunately, most people can't afford it. Any bankruptcy attorney, they're attorneys, and they charge hundreds of dollars an hour, and most bankruptcies on average cost around $2,000.
Really?
So you're going to, you know, again, we find ourselves in that same position where even though somebody might want to do bankruptcy or some of these other debt relief programs we used to enroll people in, they just simply can't afford it.
Right.
Now, Chapter 13 is basically a structured repayment plan where you, over a period of 3 to 5 years, you pay back your creditors, and you're paying them back, you know, oftentimes 80-90% of what you originally owed them. You still get to keep your assets.
Right.
But, you know, if you miss a payment, then all those assets are up for seizure. And, I mean, it's, if you're going to go that route, you might as well just pay your debt back.
Right.
Because it is, it's incredibly restrictive.
Right.
And if you default, there's large consequences. It costs a lot of money. And for 3 to 5 years, you are living like a pauper, and all your extra income is going to your creditors.
Yeah, that's why I don't even understand why anybody would file Chapter 13, you know. But Chapter 7 does seem... but, you know, you mentioned that the debts go off your record after 4 years. Is that true?
Well, no, okay. So,
oh, I'm sorry.
So there's a common misconception that your credit report, that's an entirely separate thing from kind of legally what's going on with your account. So let's say I have an account with, you know, whatever, ABC Bank. ABC, and I fell into default. ABC Bank can report my default to the credit bureaus. There are three major credit bureaus for up to 7 years on that unsecured debt.
7 years. So, and in bankruptcy, it would probably be like 10 years or something, right?
Exactly. Bankruptcy, well, it depends. So Chapter 13, I believe, is 7. Chapter 7 is 10.
Wow. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's another downside is obviously if you file for bankruptcy, it's pretty much the worst thing you can have on your credit report.
Right.
We do have kind of some, you know, techniques that we can get bankruptcies removed as well from credit report. But let me again finish teasing out this distinction. So, since you live in California, after 4 years of non-payment, your debt would be uncollectible. Now, that doesn't mean, though, that creditor can't still report that negative to all three bureaus for another 3 years.
Right.
Most likely, the chances that they are less. So, in other words, it's easier to get that negative removed after 4 years because there's really no incentive for that creditor to keep reporting that negative. I mean, that's the only leverage they have, really, at that point.
Right.
And you know, it does take time and money to continue to report these things. So those are easier to get off at the end of the day,
right,
than accounts that are still within the statute of limitations.
Right. So what I'm getting out of all this is probably the best ways to negotiate with the creditors, probably lower your debt to them and just try to pay it off. Would you agree with that?
What, my program?
Not your program, but in general. In other words, you said there's a lot of different options to reducing your debt. Would you say that actually paying it, but paying a lot less of, with an amount you negotiate with the creditor, is that the best way to go? In other words, avoid the bankruptcy, avoid all the debt relief agencies, and just go there and negotiate with them a lower amount?
Well, see, it's impossible to say because each person's situation is different,
right,
and each person's tolerance for, you know, what they feel comfortable with is different. So, like I said, the following our program, our guarantee, you know, that requires that you're not making payments to your creditors. You are fighting them at every step of the way,
right,
And if you are sued, you are responding to that lawsuit and, you know, going through the motions to make them prove their case. Now, some people would rather, you know, they have the money and they'd rather just settle the account, and that's fine. You know, they could probably experience between 20 and 50 cents on the dollar debt relief if they do that. And we'll show them how to do that as well.
Yeah.
So it's really up to the individual about, you know, what they feel comfortable with, how much money they have, and ultimately what they're looking to accomplish.
Yeah. Well, you definitely have my curiosity. The website is Debt Clear, and we're talking to Michael Croy, of course. Is it Croy or Croy's?
Croy.
Oh, okay. That's
like
what I thought.
Croy.
Right. And it's just when you called in, I thought you said something else. But no, Michael Croy, of course. DebtClear.com. Everybody go check it out. And I'm definitely going to see what you have to offer there.
Sounds interesting.
Yes. And if somebody wants to know, is there, what is the fee for that service?
Right. Well, we have a 7-day free trial, so anyone can sign up and see exactly what they're going to be gaining access to for 7 days. So I do recommend that people check us out and certainly compare us against all these other companies out there. The one point I do want to make is that there's a lot of fraud and scams out there, especially now, given the financial situation of the country. And so really do your due diligence. You know, check out any company you're thinking of working with the Better Business Bureau, and really look at what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to say that, you know, unfortunately, a lot of salespeople are going to tell people what they want to hear. So there is, if they do sign up for the free trial, I recommend everyone go into the debt relief section and read the section on traditional debt relief options. And that will really tell you the truth about the pros and cons of all these options and help you navigate those choices out there.
Right.
But if you do decide after the 7-day free trial to continue to be a paying member, there are a number of different payment options that they can select, but what most people choose is there's a $300 initiation fee,
right,
so one-time initiation fee, and then it's $30 a month for as long as you want. You can cancel at any time.
Okay.
So you're really just if you were to stay for, I'd say, you know, 3 years, it's probably going to be, I don't know, around $1,300 all in. And we do have a 3-year package as well. You could save a little bit of money if you want to pay up front.
Sounds interesting to me. Okay, Michael, thank you so much for all the information. I think you're full of information there, and I found it really helpful, so I'm going to check it out. Thank you so much for your time, Michael, and
thanks,
all the
Michael.
Best to you.
You're welcome. All right.
Take
you
care.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I don't know. You didn't seem really into it, but I figure you probably don't have a lot of credit card debt.
Well,
you know?
The whole time I had this sound in my head going, woo,
uh-huh,
and then my phone rang while we were interviewing him,
uh-huh,
and I know it was like a debt collector. I don't have a lot of debt, but it's all relative to what your income is. So for
right.
me, it feels a little over. It feels overwhelming because
yeah.
I've been just work has been really shaky. So it's harder. It's one thing. It's not so much that the number's that high. It's just the management of it and
right.
really having the income to offset it.
I know.
So, it's kind of like I feel like I have to get the cart before the horse, like get it in lined.
Yeah.
You know, like have like the right flow and then be able to deal with that. But I don't know. I don't know. Everybody, you know, it's definitely not my strength. So it was interesting to hear him. I did take it all in.
Yeah.
And I definitely will look into that.
Yeah.
But no, I don't have
sure.
a whole lot, but I have enough that's not good.
Yeah, I've got enough too. All right. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back right after this.
He tried to tell her, and she thought it right. Hand in hand, they marched on through the night. He knew the answers she'd hoped to find. It'll just take a little time, just a little bit of time. It wasn't easy, but how could they fail? Though love can blind you just like a veil. He knew the price was worth the strain. There was so very much to gain. So much love was there to gain. And they flew so high that they lifted up the ground. They locked themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. In the end there's nobody to blame. There's never anyone to blame. Avoiding the shadows, well they struggled on. Went up and down, did right and wrong. Misunderstandings were put aside, and the gap became too wide. You cannot bridge a gap so wide. Though they flew so high, they lifted off the ground. They locked themselves away in the magic they had found.
taking talk anywhere. Stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station with 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Phone lines are open on Sam and Karen in the morning. Pick up your phone and jump in on the conversation. Dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. Now, let's get back to Sam and Karen in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
So we didn't talk about the earthquake last night.
Yeah, well, I didn't even feel it.
I know.
But they said, I'm seeing that there was one in Baja California, Mexico.
That's the one.
That was a 7.2.
Right, and that's the one we felt here.
That was where the aftershocks were?
Not even the aftershock. We just felt it here, the original one.
So there wasn't one in L.A.?
No. Well, no, it wasn't centered here, no.
Okay, well, I thought that there was actually one in Los Angeles.
Mm-mm.
Are you sure?
I'm looking it up
right now.
There's only one earthquake, and I was in the car, so I didn't get a chance to feel it, but apparently it was one of those swaying ones, you know, where things just sway back and forth.
That's how the last one
was. As opposed to the shaking.
Well, I wonder what the damage report is for...
Well, they showed some damage in Mexico. It was pretty, pretty significant. But out here, I don't think there was that much going on. You know, we saw, I was watching TV for a little bit for the coverage, and there wasn't really that much to report here, you know. It was much closer to the border. So, yes, somewhere in Mexicali or something.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, but it's getting scary, you know. You got to start thinking of, like, you know, we've got to be prepared for this. I just don't know how.
I know. You know, it's so funny. You and I are talking about this, and we're like, well,
yeah,
I guess
we'll
I need a bottle of water
it.
Or something, you
right.
know? It's
yeah.
just, it's funny.
And some canned food.
Yeah.
Yeah, but can you imagine, I mean, because we were thinking about it last night, if the internet's down and all that's down, we're not going to have a radio station.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
That's what we're concerned about. Forget all the people dying under buildings.
Exactly. We want to be able to come in here and do our show, for crying out loud.
Says the list, okay, this is, I'm not really getting straight answers on the earthquake. If anybody knows, call in about last night. I'm seeing that there's a 7.2 earthquake in Baja California, Mexico. I'm not seeing, I've heard different things, and I don't know if there's any, like, casualties or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
So I guess we're going to be okay.
You're going to have to take my word for it. There's
no, I totally hear you. No, I believe you. But okay. I'm just wondering if there's any damage or anything.
Oh, there is, like I said, you know, closer to the epicenter. But at any rate, what's more interesting is you get turned on by looking at yourself. I mean, that's intriguing to me.
Wow. I guess what I'm trying to say is women's bodies are beautiful and mm-hmm. sexy. And it's not that I love myself and I just look at myself. I'm like, Kara, I just want to do you. I want to do me.
Right.
It's not like that.
But it is a sexual thing, right?
It's just, there's something erotic about it, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't sit around looking. I'm just saying,
right.
You know, I've...
I know. Yeah, I guess, you know, if I'm with a raging heart on and stuff and I look myself in the mirror, it is pretty pretty sexy.
That's funny. Guys just I see that I would think the opposite because just guys don't look. They're just not really sexy.
Yeah,
like,
but
in that
it's
way.
Sex. You know, you see an
there
erect penis and that's sex.
Yeah.
You know? Listen to you.
Just hanging out. Okay. Yeah. No, but that's just my only thing when you ask, do I find, have I ever been sexually attracted to women?
Right.
It's not like that.
No. No, you never had that.
No. I mean, when I was growing up, I made out with a couple girls.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but, tried it out.
What does it mean, made out? I mean, how far did you go?
I mean, how far can you go with a girl? Like, it's kind of
boring,
right?
Well, all the way.
All the way?
Oral and... You know?
Yeah, I did some oral.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was
wow.
young. I was young.
How young were you?
I was like 13.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried it. It was gross.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, ugh. Not. I was like, not into women, believe me. Not my
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, but I guess when you're young, some people experiment and stuff, you know?
You know, it was just experimental, and then I felt horribly guilty about it, because I don't know, just...
I'm sure.
Just like, oh, man. Can't believe I did that.
Yeah.
But you know, it's part of growing up, I guess.
Yeah.
Everybody's growing up experience is different, and
yeah.
I definitely know I'm not into women.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Did you discover sexuality rather early though? Like your own sexuality?
I don't know compared to what. I mean, I had curiosities. I had
did you play doctor like I did?
Yeah. Definitely played doctor. I definitely felt like, you know, I started to feel things and, you know, I don't know. I didn't grow up in the most stable home, so I saw things I probably shouldn't have seen.
Oh.
So I think that probably contributed to awakening it prior to maybe it would have naturally been awakened.
Right.
You know, because kids aren't developed emotionally or mentally to understand their bodies.
Right.
But the bodies can be awakened.
Right.
You know, and I experienced a little bit of, you know, seeing things and stuff. So that was, you know, not like abuse or anything, but just,
right,
you
right.
know, just there was, I just had a very unstable upbringing. So, I mean,
Today it would probably be considered abuse, but, you know, I mean, everything's considered abuse these days, you know. So.
Yeah, I just think it was just more like a negligent kind of thing. You know, just there's a little bit of stuff that I saw, like, you know, I didn't have the best role models as far as marriage and romantic relationships should look like.
Right.
So it was very messy, and so I did see that. And people like to kind of think that kids aren't smart and they don't clue in, but kids pick up on it. They know if mom and dad aren't doing well.
Right.
And they know if mom's not with dad and she's with somebody else. You know, I walked in on my mom with another man, and you know, they weren't doing it. No, that they were like laying down in the bed together,
right?
And you know, didn't look like she had any clothes on. I mean, you could just see the top of her shoulders,
right?
And she tried to give me some story about it. And it doesn't matter what you tell a kid; you just know that's not your dad or your stepdad,
right?
Or your
right.
current stepdad.
You go, what the fuck are they doing?
You just know it's not right. And so I feel like I was kind of, I saw a lot of things like that from both sides. Even my dad, you know, my dad went through some pretty rocky relationships and some affairs and things like that I got to see up close and personal. Mm. And then my mom, you know, she's out there.
Yeah.
So
they'll screw you up a little bit.
Well, I mean, it definitely is something that, you know, it does have an impact, and you have to work through it, and you have to kind of just see that people are broken. And, you know, my mom and dad are definitely very broken people that they're not perfect, and,
right.
you know, made a lot of bad choices, but at the same time, it's not a reflection of who they are as a human. You know, we're all kind of insufficient. We all have needs, and we all do the best that we know how to kind of fill our needs on our own. And a lot of times that's not healthy, or it's destructive.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, that's what I say. Parents do the best that they can, you know. I mean, there's very few people that actually purposely want to hurt their children.
Yeah, exactly. Know? Exactly. And I don't want to paint the wrong picture. It wasn't like they're awful. Just, you know, was it healthy? Was it functional? I'm not going to lie. No, it wasn't.
Right, right.
And I think part of anybody's kind of working through stuff is kind of identifying what you saw growing up and giving a voice to it. Because as a kid, mm-hmm. you experience other people's choices.
Right.
You don't have a choice. You're put into their decisions, and you experience the effects of their decisions, and you don't have a voice, and
right.
You can feel that it's wrong, and you can feel that it's not safe, and you can feel that it's not right, but you don't know how to vocalize or put the right words. But
right.
nonetheless, you're experiencing the truth.
Right, and it's probably distorted too. You know,
it is probably. But I think what's pretty therapeutic is when you become an adult, and you look back, and part of the process is kind of going back into your childhood and kind of giving a voice to your childhood.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's not to keep rehashing it, but it's able to kind of go, oh, that's alcoholism. We didn't call that growing up, but that's called alcoholism. This
right.
is neglect, or this is that, and it just. It kind of empowers you in a way, and mm-hmm. you can remove yourself from those things.
Yeah. But you've got to repress it, you know. I mean, often, you know, kids don't know how to deal with that stuff.
Yeah. I think it's healthy to kind of go back. But you know what I find more fascinating is when people go, family members, relatives that want to protect the dysfunction.
Mm.
That to me is more fascinating than the people that did the dysfunction.
Right.
It's more fascinating to me the family members and people that are threatened to call things what they were.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know, maybe then the lie of, oh, we've got it all together, oh, or people think that if this is brought into the light and we call this what it is, then it's going to discredit the person. When it's like, no, they're still a good person. Like, I think if people mess up and you call out this was wrong and this was not healthy, right. They feel, or people want to protect that person because you think you're destroying who they are. But really, it's liberating for everybody.
Right.
The person who messed up, it's liberating. I mean, to say, look, I messed up and I didn't know what I was doing, or I was thinking this was right, or was wrong, or I was hurt, or I was broken, whatever the answer is, and to be able to give it a voice. And kind of release it. And I think it's healthy. But I find a lot of family members and relatives, because I've had a lot of backlash with that.
Really?
Yeah, where I'll be like, oh, you know, and I've gone through my angry, crazy stage with it. I'm a little over the angry stuff. But where I've been very like, this was wrong. And just family members just couldn't take it. And everybody wants to kind of rally around the person and protect the person. And I see a pattern. I see a pattern where you've got a lot of people... specifically women that are trying to protect the man and trying to defend the man, when really it's like, come on, let's just call a spade a spade.
Yeah. Well, that's why, I mean, many stories of abuse, you hear that the mother didn't do anything, you know, she was aware of what's going on and she didn't do anything and stuff. And you gotta really, I think, understand the situation they're in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as simple as it seems sometimes.
No, and it's not about judgment. I think there's a misconception that by calling somebody, oh, this person was an alcoholic growing up, that's not about destroying them and about placing blame, but it's really about kind of bringing clarity to what the madness was. I mean, if you grew up in chaos, I grew up in chaos. I don't care what anybody in my family says. I know what I grew up in. I know what I saw, and I know what it was like. And it was chaotic, and it was not healthy. Right. And when I'm able to grow up now and look at it and go, oh, there was alcoholism, there was a lot of destructive relationships, I don't look at those choices or those addictions personally as a reflection of my parent or the person that I love. I just look at it as like, that's the reality. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. And through saying it, it's like even the Bible says the truth will set you free. And that is so powerful. I was with my roommates the other day, and we had we did a Bible study at my house. And then a few days later, we went to Good Friday service at church. And then we were in the car and we just had a really good God chat. And we just started praying. We had, all three of us were just praying in the car. And I felt like I needed to confess some things, not necessarily for their benefit, but for mine.
Right.
And I felt like God put it on my heart to confess some stuff that I don't want to tell anybody.
Really?
Yeah. It's not that it's that bad or that dirty or anything. It's just, it's stuff that I don't want people to know about my business. I don't want to have to be accountable to it. And truth be told, I don't have the energy to fight it.
Right.
But I felt like God put on my heart to just confess these sins.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said in front of my friends the two things that had been, you know, one was something I had to apologize for, and then another one was something that's just been lingering in my life much longer than I'd like it to be, or it should have been done a long time ago, that they don't, and it's not that it's their responsibility, it's just one of those things that when I told them that, they looked at me and they were like, wow, I mean, you know, that's a lot of courage to just say that.
Really?
And I got to be honest, I felt very humble saying it, very humbled.
Right.
And I also felt kind of a release, though.
Right.
And it's not that everything's...
Now you got me so fucking curious as to what
you're saying. just pick anything that you're... Yeah. Maybe there's something that's hidden in your life.
Right.
And I don't need to know what it is unless you want to share. And just like me, it's just the concept, and this is what I told them. I said, I'm not asking you guys to fix it. I'm not asking you to be worried about it. All I'm saying is I feel the principle of... God wants to take everything in the dark and bring it into the light, because when it's in the light, there's truth, and at least you can move forward and start dealing with it. But we deceive ourselves, and there's a lot of times when I will cover up things even to myself and not be honest about my intentions or my motives.
Mm.
And then next thing I know, I'm in a bad situation, but because I wasn't honest. And I think, and I do believe in Satan, and I do believe in God, and I don't think it's a pitchfork with like a red, you know, a red flaming cape, but I think there's a force that is not of God, satanic, that influences us, doesn't control us, but influences us to want to make ourselves look good and not let people know what we're going through, and we're tempted to keep everything in the dark. And I think just that principle alone, even though I can be embarrassed to share some of these things or I feel humbled, there's something about, no, I'm not going to have secrets like this. I'm not going to have things in my life that hold me down, that make me feel bad about myself, that I'm covering up because I don't want anybody to know, and I'm trying to image manage and make myself look a certain way. And I'm like, no, this is what I'm going through. We don't need to talk about it. You don't need to try to fix it for me. But these are some things in my life that I just, for the sake, the sheer principle of I don't want it to be hidden. I don't want to have heaviness in my life and hidden stuff.
So did you feel lighter?
I did.
You did.
Yeah.
Well, maybe there's something to it. You know?
Yeah, and it's a continual process of kind of like purging what's in there, and at least, and it's not like, oh, everything in my life's fixed because I told somebody what I was going through, but it's almost like, oh, you know, you just, you're not trying to, I think there's something about the lies. Mm-hmm. Lying gets out of control. You try to cover your tracks. You're paranoid. Mm-hmm. You don't want people to know things. You come up with alibis. It's like, it's not the way to live.
Right.
It's like, nope, bring it into the light. Whatever consequences are going to be there, they're going to be there. And I'd rather deal with that than, you know, this living a weird double life or something. Not that any of my stuff is like that. But I guess what I'm saying is I feel there's something healthy and releasing about just calling it what it is. And it doesn't mean God doesn't love me. It doesn't mean that I'm a bad human. It just means I have needs. I need to be closer to God. There's needs in this.
Right.
And I don't feel judged, you know. I don't, in God's presence, when I confess, I really don't feel judgment. I feel like an invitation to purge and to release it. So I guess I'm just using that principle when I talk about like growing up and people wanting to protect the people involved, as opposed to just, you know, let's bring it up and let's just call it what it is. It's healing.
Right.
As opposed to, I think people are afraid that they're going to be judged.
Yeah.
Or punished.
Well, yeah, I mean, and they probably will be judged, you know. I mean, many people do judge you, you know, and there's nothing you can do about it.
And that's,
you know,
true. So, I mean, that part is true.
You know,
but at the end of the day, it's like you can only live for God. So if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and you're being honest before the Lord and other people can't understand that, or they're afraid, or they want to be self-righteous because they don't understand their own sinfulness.
Right.
That's their problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, so. I live for my next orgasm. That's what keeps me going.
Well, awesome. You live for the next orgasm?
Yeah.
Every day?
I don't live for God. I mean, I have a lot of respect, and I'm totally living in awe, and I do believe there's God, but at the same time, I live for my next orgasm. I don't live for anybody else. So,
that's funny. That's funny.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take another short break. We'll be back right after this.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone, commercial-free original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
Oh,
Talk Radio proliferates the internet, two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Kara in the morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Damn, I'm so friggin' tired all of a sudden.
So, I wanted to share with you, I'm not going to go into too detail. So I got my first angry email from a listener. Woohoo!
Oh yeah, congratulations, you've arrived.
I know, I feel special actually. No, it wasn't just angry, it was informative. It was basically about the healthcare show that we had.
Uh-huh.
And he basically ripped up the different points and saying how he doesn't agree with this, and this isn't misinformation, and this. And I frankly haven't had time to go through it. It's a very long email.
Oh.
But I will say this. I don't have a problem with somebody wanting to, you know, go point for point on something or express their, you know, their opposing viewpoint. Right. I welcome it. And I definitely think putting it out there means you need to be able to take it.
Right.
And so I'm going to go through it, read it, and then do some research and then, you know, kind of send him a follow-up email with some points. But it's interesting. You know, again, we're here, we're on the radio, and we're talking. And
right.
And I clearly stated at the beginning of that show, I said, we're not experts on the subject. Apparently no one else is.
Uh-huh.
So let's have, it's a tongue-in-cheek remark that we're here as two average Joes,
yeah,
having a conversation based on the research that we found and what we've read and what we've listened to. And I did say the ideal was to have an opposing viewpoint to make this more of a debate.
Right.
But the person that guest was unable to make it, who's a lawyer.
Okay, the opposing view.
Yeah, which we can do that follow-up at another time. But it's interesting the expectation that people have when you are going down certain subject matters, or even – it doesn't even have to be that big of a subject matter. I mean, healthcare clearly is a big subject. But just people get so personal with it. They get very – personal. Mm-hmm. I'm okay. Again, like if you don't agree or if you think that this is wrong, and I think I'm pretty open. So
right.
That means if, you know, I'll own it if something's wrong or if I misread something. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually welcome it.
So did he make it like personal? Like tell me
it was
stupid,
both. It was,
you don't
well,
know what
it was,
talking about.
Yeah, it was
really?
Both. But well, I haven't got into all of it. He did put up point for point. There's going to be some points that I need to go back and read that he doesn't agree with and he thinks that my information's wrong. So I'm going to double check it and cross-reference and look into what he's saying. So I can appreciate
right.
that part. But there was a lot of emotion behind it as
right.
though I'm an ignorant person and I'm just, you know, basically a droid of the Republican Party, which whatever that means. He didn't use those words. But basically there was personal stuff in there. And then he kind of went down the fact that, you know, he's a musician and he kind of wanted to go into the music thing about, I don't really know what I'm talking about with music. And it's just, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
It's really, I don't know. You just strike chords with people and
yeah.
then they really want to tell you how they feel on everything.
Yeah.
And people take it and they make it about them or
yeah.
about, you know, about.
Well, but radio is definitely a personal medium, you know, and when people listen
I'm
to
I'm not
it,
offended.
They feel,
I'm really not.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I know. But at the same time, you know, I mean, we, you know, to the listener that wrote this, you know, if you're so passionate about it, you should call in
mm-hmm.
and we'll have an intelligent conversation.
Hey, and I'm and the reality is I mean, I wrote a quick email to let them know, look, I appreciate the response because, I mean, there's some stuff in there I think was done very diplomatically. I mean, it wasn't all just that. So
right.
I can appreciate the person taking time out to write the point for point that they don't agree with.
Right.
And I respect that, and I'll respect them and look into it and actually read and get back to them on those points. Not that
right.
I'll agree, but at least to take the time to kind of address what they said.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem with, you know, if you put it out there, be able to take it. However, it's just interesting, just the emotion
mm-hmm.
and the people that listen that put in,
yeah.
you know, it's like you slap their grandma.
Like,
why did you slap my grandma?
Yeah.
Why?
But,
why?
You know, political things, some people are very passionate about, you know,
you know,
they have
and
opinions.
I get
and,
it. I totally,
you know.
I totally get it. But it's funny. No, I do. I feel honored that I got an angry little email.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
mad.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
You've moved someone to action, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and maybe they're trying to move me to action, and that's cool, too. So we'll see. We'll see. I'll keep you guys posted on the follow-up.
Good. Yeah. Maybe
yeah.
you'll be able to read to us some of the points after you address them.
Yeah, let me go through it first and really maybe even it'd be cool to read what they wrote. I'll go back and look into what they said And if I come up with the same conclusion, or if I see that I've made a misstep there, I'll own it. Mm-hmm. Or I'd like to also kind of take clips from that show and replay them in conjunction with, you know, his points. Because okay. That's what's interesting, too, is did you listen to the show? Or did it just piss you off?
Yeah.
You know, there's some key things we said there that this is, you know. So.
Did you hear of the iPad coming out this weekend? The Apple iPad. Have you heard of it at all?
Oh, yeah. I've heard it's not that great.
Yeah?
Yeah. Have you heard anything?
Let me tell you. It sold 300,000 units on Saturday alone.
Really?
When they released it, yeah.
I have a couple of real techie friends. I said a couple of my techie friends are saying it's missing some key components, which would make it pretty phenomenal, but that it's not as great. Now,
I mean, it looks like an oversized iPhone. That's what it looks like, you know?
I don't know. I kind of just feel like with a lot of the tech companies, it's just they're doing great. They're making some great strides, but there's always this whole, you know, planned obsolescence, and there's this whole idea of there's going to be the bigger, best thing, and they're holding out, and, you know, they'll come up with it and let you buy different versions of it first, and then boom. Or they're going to come up with another version that's a little bit better, but, you know, it's not that amazing, and you can buy that. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to hear from people that have really looked into it or have bought it. That would be cool.
Well, yeah. There's over the weekend, they sold about 700,000 all said. So that's a lot of units for just, you know, one product over the weekend. But I guess, you know, I mean, that's the thing, is that there's a lot of Apple fanatics out there, and they just love everything that Apple does, you know, and these are probably, most of them are people like that.
Well, I just pulled this up. It says 10 things that we love and hate about the iPad. Mm-hmm. And it is from, where are we at? This is the Business Insider. And this is what we have so far. Okay. Let's see. It says,
Business Insider?
The businessinsinsider.com.
Okay, never heard of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's come up, and let's take a look. It says, this display is incredibly beautiful, and both text and graphics look very nice on it. Web pages are fun to zoom around. It's zippy, and the battery life is more than enough. The iPad user interface, in some senses, a sized-up version of the iPhone, but with new techniques, was really done well. The natural textures which grace the UI in a few places are a nice touch. Let's see what it says. After testing a bunch of the apps and playing some games, watching a few minutes of Netflix video, surfing the web, and reading a few chapters of an ebook, we had a bit of a feeling of, now what? Sure, that's what's going to happen with any new gadget. But in this case, for some we'd anticipate for so long, we still felt like we were missing bigger marching orders.
Oh, yeah.
So it seems like they're looking
underwhelmed,
like,
by it.
A little, like, it's kind of like a bigger, nicer version, but it's they're still missing something. No doubt, over time, developers and Apple will make some really interesting, useful applications for it. And of course, the web is great to have. We think we definitely will use the iPad on a regular basis, and probably won't have to worry about it just collecting dust. But we're going to need better things to do than using the Kayak app to look up prices for plane tickets we've already purchased. Interesting.
Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, it's not like you can do more things with it than a computer, you know. And, you know, the price of it, how much do they charge? About $600-$700 for this thing? And, you know, I'm not sure. I think that's the price. But it's amazing that in the whole article, they don't have the price of this thing. I mean, you can buy a laptop for less than that, you know, and they say it has no keyboard, so it's more or less like the keyboard on the iPhone, which is difficult to use.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, there's always somebody who's going to love this.
So it looks like it's useful, and that it's a nicer version of, like, the iPhone, but that it's not exactly anything that's novel. Like, it's not really offering.
Yeah, it's not offering anything new or earth-shattering, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's kind of a little bit redundant. It's got a little bit but a little redundant. And they're going to sell. How many have they sold? There you go. What do you say? Like, they've already sold so many. So there you go.
Yeah.
Way to go, iPad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder who's really using it, though.
Yeah.
I wonder. So what's on the books this week? What do you got going on, Sam? Any fun things?
For me, this week, nothing really exciting. I mean, I'd like to take a vacation or something.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where would you go if you can take a vacay?
Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Yeah, we just had some friends in town, and they were in Hawaii for about 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got the urge to go there, you know?
Yeah.
Itch. Have you been to Hawaii?
I've never been.
Yeah, you'll love it.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool, you know? Tropical islands, and it's still America. So you have all the conveniences without having to deal with a Cancun type of a place, for crying out loud.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you are married, and you said your biggest, you live for the orgasm. So are you just like the happiest man?
I'm happy.
You have full access.
I'm happy. I mean, this is a good time in my life right now.
Yeah.
I think I've been happier lately than I have in a long time.
Do you know, I found out, a friend of mine told me that statistics show that married men live longer and are happier, and that married couples have better sex than singles.
Right, that's what they say, yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, too, I mean, you're having consistent sex, and I think when you're with the same partner over time, you're able to kind of, you know, really work on the sex and get great at it and develop intimacy.
Yeah.
And
possibly.
I love about you, Sam, is like you just can't fake anything. Like everything you're like, yeah. I don't know. I just think that that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that you live longer, it's like a happier life. Well, they say happier, but not that I know a lot of very unmarried, or not, I don't know a lot, but I've definitely seen my share of unhappy married. So.
Right.
It's not a formula for happiness.
No, definitely not.
You have to kind of get that first, I think, on your own, right?
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
How long were you single before you were married
between marriages?
Yeah.
A long time. 10 years, maybe.
And how did you like being single?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, but I don't think I'm meant for being single. You know, I mean, I was in relationships in between that, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like I was alone or anything, you know. It's
just, okay.
There wasn't marriage there, you know.
But did you have chunks of time or a good chunk when you weren't dating anyone?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, for a long time.
And you just felt like that really.
It felt lonely. It did feel lonely.
Yeah.
You know, I lived on my own and stuff. You know, it's not like I had roommates or anything. But yeah, you know, I don't know. You know, it's like I miss it sometimes, you know, but sometimes I'm just like so grateful that I have someone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different, you know. It's
who tells you look times. Hot every morning, huh?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Even with my hair looking like shit, you look hot.
That's so sweet. That's sweet.
I suppose. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it is sweet.
It is sweet. I mean, you need somebody that's going to be a fan of you.
Yeah.
Somebody that's going to be like, you rock my world.
Yeah.
Ooh, look at that back hair. Oh, love it. Just playing. Oh,
back
yeah.
Back hair, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Women just want everything to last forever.
Like what?
Marriage.
Well,
and
I
love
mean,
and,
why not?
You know?
I mean, that's the goal, right? You don't want to just do
why
it for
is that the
weeks.
Goal?
No, I mean, you go into a union between a man and a woman, that the marriage, and you say I do to you and I don't to everybody else. And
right.
Till death do us part. Let's do this. Let's bring it on. I mean, come on now. It's ups and downs. And
yeah.
I mean, the goal is that
yeah,
you,
that part of the till death do us apart, man, that's a long time.
Well, you said you like being married.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's sometimes you wish you were single.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you know, that's the thing, is that... You know,
everybody,
the,
yeah.
Yeah, the grass is always greener. It seems,
well, part
you know?
Of me would love to be married. I mean,
yeah.
I'd love to have that unity and that stability and that, like, that kind of intimacy. But I kind of wonder, like, once that day hits, I mean, I don't want to rush it, because once it hits, it's there.
Right.
And I'm probably going to look back and go, wow, did I have fun?
Yeah.
And look back and go, wow, was that just easy?
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, is there a point where if you were married for a while, things didn't work out, that you would get a divorce, or would you?
I mean, I say humbly that,
forever?
You know, I have my ideals, but I do say humbly that I've not walked in those shoes. So I don't know what I'm made of in that department. I don't
right.
know what I would do. But what I believe is that it's a covenant that I make to God first.
Right.
So my commitment's first to God, then to my partner.
I see.
And so when things get hard between my partner and I, it's not that I can leave, because I've made a vow to God that this is a person that I'm going to become one with.
Right.
And I don't believe in abandoning that. Right. I mean, there's only a few things.
But they have to want to do the same thing.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Yeah. I mean, I don't believe in infidelity, and I do believe it's a cause for divorce, although I do believe you can work through it if it's both parties are willing.
Really? So if you were cheated on, do you think you could still stay with them?
Again, I don't know how I would handle it. Yeah. My personality.
Did it ever happen before?
I've never been. I've had suspects that I know that there. I've been with guys that have flirted with other girls.
Right.
That's been enough for me.
Yeah.
And I've been like peace. I told you about that one guy. We were out at the House of Blues, and he left me alone for like half an hour with his friends, and I was like, where is he? And I went to the bar and I saw him with these two tall twin models that were blonde. And I was like, fuck that. Sorry for cussing. And I just took a cab and left and didn't call him. Nothing.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, just left. And that's
what I'm saying. You see,
that's
what I'm
just
saying.
Me thinking.
Yeah. So
that's
you
just
can,
me seeing him, leave me alone, and talk. I'm like, well, you know what? Have a good time. Have a good life.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You see, if someone cheated on you, you'd be out the door like
but
a fucking rocket.
But here's the thing. What I don't know, and it's a question mark, I don't know, is how when somebody does that and you have a true, true love for that person and they love you, you know they love you, and you know that they freaked around on you. It wasn't about their love for you. It's about something going on in them, and that they have a deficiency, or they have something that's that they're battling through, or they just were completely selfish, and they're very repentant. I mean, I'm not saying that that would be easy, because there's nothing easy about it, but I've heard of women who've taken a different road where they've went to therapy with their husband got into therapy, and it was a long time coming around, but through time you see the fruit of repentance. You see the man or the woman, whoever it is, basically show their love and earn their trust again, but it's a long time. And there's a different kind of love story that comes out of that too.
Yeah.
I just believe in hope. I believe in repentance, and I believe in forgiveness. I mean, if God forgives me for my sins, how can I then be so quick? I'm not saying that there's not times to stop things, but how can I be so quick to say, you know, you wronged me, now I'm done with you.
Right.
But how many times have I wronged God on a daily basis, and how many times have I wronged friends and people just because of...
I mean, these are all ideals, though. You know?
They
but
are
I mean,
ideals.
If you felt someone broke the trust you have in them, I don't think you would stay.
Well, first of all, I don't know. And I'm not saying I would, because I don't know what I'm made of in that area.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I think one of the things is admitting our frailty and admitting our prejudice and admitting our weakness and going, look, I'd love to say that, one, it would never happen. Two, I'd love to say... I wouldn't even love to want to stick around, but I would love to say that I would be open to, if my husband had a repentant heart and was taking it serious and was working towards that I could work towards forgiving him.
Right.
I would love to say I'd be open. Do I know, Sam? No.
Right.
It
depends on how hurt you'd be, I think. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I've listened to this one lady, she's on this radio station I listen to, and she wrote a book called Forgiveness After Betrayal, and basically her husband had a sex addiction, and she was in the church. Like, her husband's in the church, she's in the church, they're leaders in the church. He had, you know, I don't remember the circumstances, but, you know, had multiple circumstances of infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she found out about it, and I mean, it just was, she goes, it was every wife's biggest nightmare.
Yeah.
And she was, you know, clearly they went through separation, and they went through a lot of different time of she battling if she was going to get divorced from him or not. But through her walk with God and through his heart, she came to realize, you know, he had a sex addiction, and it wasn't it was something that he doesn't want that in his life. He doesn't want to screw around on her. Not that he's not responsible for it. He totally is. But that it's not that he just wants to be married to her and he doesn't care and he wants to screw around. He really feels like this is a compulsive behavior that is an addiction. So it really had nothing to do with her. It affected her and it violated her, but it wasn't about her. And she was able to really work on her healing from God first to get healing in that area and to learn how to love him through this. And he went through a lot of therapy and really put in the work to get long-term, like, you know, healing in that area. And I don't know the story that intimately, but what I do know is that they still are married. They still have a deep love for one another. They're not perfect. Right. Life isn't perfect and people aren't perfect. And I found it to be oddly encouraging, because although I'm not married, there's something about that kind of love and that kind of forgiveness that goes into the ugly places.
Yeah.
It's not, I just love you when things are good, or I just love you when things aren't that bad. It's, I love you in your entire brokenness.
Yeah.
I love you and your disgusting faults and your selfishness. I love you that much.
Right. But don't you think if someone did it once, they're bound to do it again?
Well, clearly in her situation, of course, he's a sex addict.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, if someone fooled around on me just once, it doesn't have to be two times, mm-hmm. you know? Just once, I'm out of there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, there's no discussion.
Yeah.
Not even any discussion at all. There's no way I'm going to be with you in bed after you've been there with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's clear cut for me.
Yeah. No, I mean, I totally understand. I mean,
yeah. I don't think you could stay around. I think you would feel really betrayed.
Well, I definitely know I would feel betrayed, and I don't know what I would do, is all I'm saying.
I
could just up and leave, like you said. I mean,
right.
I don't have a great track record of even letting a guy flirt in front of me. I mean, I was done then.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, there's also the kind of love I haven't experienced, where there's that committed, intense love to God and to that person that you're willing to love them through their most shameful things.
Yeah.
And it's not about, I think we look at even love and we look at relationships as very consumer based, where it's like, I've got needs and you have to fulfill my needs. And if you don't, I'm out, as opposed to I'm committed to the person.
Right.
Which means there's going to be seasons when you don't get what you should get.
Yeah.
And it's not right that you're not getting it. But what is right is there's that love and that bond that, if both parties are willing, could turn into a very beautiful, beautiful love story, I think.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, look at Johnny Cash. Look at Johnny Cash in June. I mean, it was just pretty, interesting how they went through back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But in the end, I mean, he got his act together. And
He did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Well, in the end, and got his act together, and they loved each other madly, and it was beautiful.
Yeah.
But not an easy path.
Yeah.
Not an easy path.
Not an easy path.
No, not at all.
No. It's, you know, it's hard. I mean, you know, you see so many relationships just break up because of it. And people can't, you know, and, you know, there's a lot of women doing this too. It's not men cheating, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. You know, when you talk to the hairdressers, you talk to therapists, you know, people that see other people and they hear stories.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
women aren't saints. I mean, women aren't, you know, they're just as capable.
Yeah.
I think for women it generally is a little different as far as the way it starts.
Right.
I've seen it with friends and stuff. I think what happens is it's affairs of the heart first for women.
Right.
I mean, it may not be for everyone. It may be the same, but I think for generally women, they aren't feeling the kind of stimulus that they want to feel,
right.
And they end up kind of connecting and getting their emotional fix. It could be through their trainer at the gym, and they get that emotional fix and that giggly, and it starts off like that, and then it boils into, now you're fantasizing about that person, and now that's who you really are turned on by, and now when you're with your husband, you're having sex, you're not really thinking about him,
right.
Thinking about your trainer, and then you kind of start to distance yourself sexually from your husband and emotionally, and then it's just a matter of time. I mean, because I think that affair starts, adultery and all that, I think all of it starts in our hearts first.
No, absolutely.
It starts in the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, definitely women are totally capable.
Yeah.
Of those things.
Yeah, and they do. They do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if
are
you can't, da, 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 da.
I just can't talk
love
anymore.
Love the one you're with. Hey!
Why am I so tired?
I don't know. You need some stronger caffeine, my friend.
You think so? Think that's what I need?
Yeah. I think you do.
All right, let's wrap it up, huh?
Okay.
Okay, I'm tired. I can't think anymore. So what? So you're not running in the rain today?
If we get a clear, if there's even a break, like a couple hours or something, I'll get out there and hammer it.
Did you do any running on the weekend?
I did a few hikes. I didn't do any running. I mean, after the the marathon, I did get sick. Mm-hmm. I've heard that your immune system, you're more likely to get sick after you run.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like you have to kind of, I've heard that. I don't know. But again, I didn't train well for it, so.
Yeah.
And I just let my body heal. So I've been doing light workouts. Mm. So I've done some light workouts, but I need to start getting the running in.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I salute you for all your dedication to that, you know?
Thanks.
I mean, you care about yourself. That's good.
Well, thank you. Well, I really love it. I mean, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's like, it's such a good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Many people don't like to work out, you know?
No, I get it. It's hard. The first few steps are always hard.
Yeah.
But I love it.
I love it too. whatever it is.
You love it, I love it. Okay.
Yeah. All right, Kira, thanks so much.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back.
Thank you guys for listening.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.